You're pretty important when Curtis is a big fan, so. Amen. If you love Jesus, shout amen. Amen. It is my honor and privilege to always be with my family at Berkeley Springs, and whether it be a local church setting, conference, youth camp, whatever, it's always my privilege to be here. What incredible people that the Lord has placed in our life. If you believe it, put your hands together, let them know how much you love them, celebrate them, and appreciate them. Not just, I think when we say that, sometimes we think just the Howell's family, and I esteem them very highly, but the whole family of Word of Deliverance, we couldn't do this without the whole of this local church. And, you know, when we walked in the back door, Lisa was saying something about we need some more room, we need some different space. And I was thinking if you had it, you'd just fill it up. Amen. You really would. You would fill it up because there is tons of people that want to come to this right here. There's tons of young people and tons of churches. And for you to be able to be a part of it, you're extremely blessed. Matter of fact, look at your neighbor and say, you're really blessed tonight. You are really, really blessed tonight. And I'll tell you, I feel really blessed to be able to speak to you tonight, especially after worship like that. Holy cow, that is phenomenal. Give this worship team a great big hand, man. They have tore it up. I have got to know Pastor Dan over the last several months, and glad that I have. And so I wasn't shocked, but I was just pleasantly surprised at how great that they are, and what a phenomenal gifting and anointing that we have, and you guys are blessed to have that all week long. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. I want to dive right in the Word tonight. I do say that I'm thankful to be here, and what a phenomenal woman of God that is. And, you know, I do enough traveling, and I'm around enough ministry that I know the real deal when I'm around it. And what's really helped me know what the real deal is because of who my pastor is, and he's the real deal. And with this incredible woman of God right here, man, it is absolutely the real deal. And we love you, Miss Lisa. We believe in you. We appreciate you and celebrate you. Amen, amen, amen. I give him a list of scriptures back there. If he has got the gift of interpretation of other tongues, he can probably decipher that. But if he can't interpret other tongues, he's probably going to struggle. Shannon gets on me all the time about my handwriting, but I do the best that I can. So we'll see where it goes from here. Tonight I want to read a verse of scripture to you that when I first read this, you're probably going to think, what does this have to do with anything? But we'll just read it, maybe say just a couple things out of it. And with the help of the Holy Ghost, we'll see where it goes. And I want to talk to you about Star Wars tonight. I think that as being an able minister of the New Covenant, no matter what part or no matter what kind of meeting that we're a part of, if a pastor has it in their heart to set a theme, I think that it's a wise thing and protocol that you follow that theme to the best of your ability. And sometimes I know that the Lord will shift some things around and we got to move in the ways of the Spirit, amen? Amen? And I believe in doing that, but I always try and honor what the pastor has in their heart to do. And so we want to do that, but I just felt impressed of the Lord, really just on the way over here tonight, just to kind of give you this scripture, and we'll see why here in a minute. But John chapter number 12, verse 23 says, "But Jesus answered them, saying that the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Watch this next verse. If you've been around church any amount of time at all, around any of us, you've heard this right here, John 12, 24, most assuredly, I say unto you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and die, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Now, the verse before it, Jesus just said that the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Then in the next verse, he says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it's all by itself. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. And what Jesus is saying is, except he does what he does on Calvary, he's the only one that's going to be glorified, or he's the only one worthy of glory. But if he dies and that seed's planted in the ground, it will reproduce itself. So it's not only Jesus who's going to be glorified. There's some other people going to be glorified too. And look at your neighbor and say, that means you. See, we are what we are by the grace of God tonight, and we are what we are because of what Jesus done on that old rugged cross 2,000 years ago, but not only on the cross, but in his burial and in his resurrection. And when that seed died and it was buried, it reproduced me and you, and tonight we can operate, we can live, and we can enjoy the glory of our Father. Amen? Amen. Now just put that on the back burner tonight because we're going to talk about Star Wars. And let me just kind of see this in the house. How many of you have seen the Star Wars, Where the Line Comes From, that is the theme of the conference, that the Force is strong with this one? How many of you in the house have seen that? Now, in the early, when that first come out, we're probably telling our age, if we was to, say, raise your hands, that if you've seen that when it first came out, we would be telling on our age just a little bit. Because the truth is that movie's just a little bit older and probably older than a lot of people in this room. But it is an incredible movie. And what I had to do is I had to go back and watch the movie just to kind of refresh my memory on some things because I hadn't seen it in a long time. But what a powerful concept and what a powerful statement that the Force is strong with this one. But there's three lines in that movie that really captured my heart. And the first one was when Luke was talking to Obi-Wan Kenobi, or Old Ben Kenobi, and he asked him what the Force was. And this was what his reply was. He said, the Force is what holds the galaxies together. Yep. Now let that bounce around in the room. The Force is what holds the galaxies together. And when I heard that statement, this is the first scripture that came to mind in Hebrews chapter number 1. Watch this scripture. Hebrews 1, God who at sundry times and diverse manners, who in times past spoken to the fathers, oh, that's New King James, by the prophets, keep going, verse 2, I got to preach fast because I'm a long-winded preacher and I don't want to be long-winded tonight. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, watch this, upholding all things by the what? The word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand on the majesty on high. Now that scripture tells us that everything is held up by the word of Jesus' power, or by the word of his power. That sounds like a whole lot to me, that the Force is what holds the galaxies together. See, I don't know that if we really understand the power of God's Word, but not just understand the power of God's Word, the power of God's Word in our life. See, I think that's why it's very important that we encourage people to study the Word. And when I encourage people to study the Word, I don't feel like I'm giving them something to do in order to get God to like them. Really, when you study the Word, what you'll discover is how much God does like you. I don't study the Word to get God's good graces. If I study the Word, what I find out is how much grace I got. So I would strongly encourage you to study the Word of God. Because when you study the Word of God, what you do is that you acquaint yourself with the power of God. Because Paul said in Romans 1 that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the Word of God, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So when I talk about the Force tonight, first of all, I want to talk to you about the Word of God. And according to this scripture right here, God's Word is so powerful. It's what holds everything together. Colossians 1:17 says this, that by Jesus, or the Word, all things consist. When you look at that word consist right there, it literally means to hold together. Right here in Hebrews 1, it upholds all things. In Colossians 1, it's like glue that holds everything together. See, listen, I'm not worried about a meteor hitting planet Earth and destroying it because this galaxy just ain't spinning and working on its own. There's another force that's holding up this galaxy. Come on, I'm not worried about necessarily something happening to our universe because I know the one who's upholding my universe. You see, so when we understand the power of the Word, what we begin to understand is that is the real force that not only holds up planet Earth, but it holds all of the galaxy together. Now, here's the interesting thing about that. John 1 again tells us that that Word is not just something, that Word's someone. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. How many of you know that's Jesus? Now, if Jesus is the Word and He lives inside of you, could it be that the force, which is the Word, is powerful in you because you got the very force Himself living on the inside of you? Now, I'm going to go somewhere. Just stick with me right here. I just got to keep building some things and laying some things out right here. The force is the Word. The Word is a person, and His name is Jesus. And by faith, Jesus lives in your heart. You know what that makes you? A very forceful and a powerful individual. Look at your neighbor and say, you're very powerful. And see, the truth is we're a lot more powerful than what we've ever been told. Or we're a lot more powerful than what we've ever realized. And I'm just wondering what planet Earth is going to be like the day that the church wakes up and realizes who she really is and what lives on the inside of her. See, I'm convinced of this, that the world will be a total different place when the church becomes different by realizing who she is. The problem in planet Earth is not that the world or that the devil's big, bad, and ugly, or that the opposing forces are greater than the church. It's just that the church has never really realized who she is. But when the church wakes up and realizes the force or the power that lies on the inside of her, this world is going to be a total different place. I'm convinced of it. I believe that we live in a day too. That's why the message of the identity of the believer is going forth like never before. Because if we could ever realize who we are, then we can know what we've been sent to do. And once we realize who we are and we know what we've been sent to do, man, we're going to shake this place up for Jesus. Amen? So what's the force? It's that which holds the galaxy together. And we find out according to the scriptures that God's word, it upholds everything. It's not only the thing that upholds everything, but it's literally the glue that holds everything together. So here's just some good news tonight. If you just feel like that you're at a place that you can't hold it together, there's somebody living in you that can. That sounded so good. I'll say that again. Thank you, Holy Ghost. If you're at a place in your life that you don't feel like you can hold it together, you got somebody living on the inside of you that can. Listen, if His Word is powerful enough to hold up the whole universe, there's a pretty good chance He's got our little life under control. Amen? So, Obi-Wan Kenobi, what's the force? The force is that which holds the galaxies together. The second line is not just what is the force, but Obi-Wan Kenobi tells young Luke this, and here's where we're really at. You must learn the ways of the force. Look at your neighbor and say, you know the ways of the force? Now watch this scripture right here. I love this scripture. I believe it's Philippians 3 is what I gave you. I butchered this list of scriptures already that I gave him, so I'm sorry. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know Him. Who's Him? Everybody say Jesus. What's Jesus? The Word. What's the Word? It's what? The force. That I may know Him. Him is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. And the Word is the force. That I may know Him, the force, and the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformed unto His death. Now, I found something real interesting in that scripture right there, that I may know Him in the power, and the power rather. Everybody say the power. Power. That's the word dunamis, probably where we get the English word dynamite from. And it means explosive miracle working power. But when you look at that definition right there, you know what the first word that it gives for that definition right there is? Force. That's the first word when you look at that definition for power right there. It gives the word force. So that I may know Him and the force of His resurrection. Now, that didn't mean a whole lot to me until I read Romans 8 and I found out that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, He lives on the inside of me. So the same force and power that got the Son of the living God up, that same force, He lives inside of my heart. He lives inside of your heart. Once again, you know what that makes you? A very powerful individual. See, I'm convinced that, once again, if we would realize this, what would happen is that when we show up places, we would know and walk with a consciousness that because I'm here, not arrogance, but we would walk with a confidence and a consciousness because I showed up, the force showed up, and stuff's subject to change. See, I believe that what God is doing in your life tonight, and what God is doing in this meeting, what God is doing in this room is so powerful that it's going to shake you up and wake you up to the point that when you go back to school next year, things are going to be a lot different than they was the year before. When you go back home, I believe this thing could be so powerful that things could be a whole lot different than the way you left. But here's the thing about it. I just don't want to know the force. I want to know the power of the force. I want to know the force himself, and the force himself is Jesus. But see, here's what I'm discovering. The more I know the force himself, the more I know the power of it. You know what this thing boils down to? No matter how we say it, no matter how deep we get, no matter how we slice it, no matter how we dice it, it all goes back to this: having a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. That's as deep as it gets right there. That's as deep as it gets right there. It's knowing Jesus. Because when I know Jesus, Jesus is the Word. He's the force. When I know Jesus, I have a personal, intimate relationship with the power of the force himself. There's a real interesting scripture in Psalms, I believe it's 103 verse 7, where your Bible says that Moses knew the ways of God and the children of Israel knew the acts. When you look at that word ways right there, it means a well-trodden path. When it said that Moses knew the ways of God by being a well-trodden path, he knew what direction God would go. He was so intimately acquainted with God that he began to understand how God thinks. He would begin to understand in what direction God would go in. Now, the children of Israel just knew his acts. They just knew what God could do. See, I don't know about you. I just don't want to know what God can do. I want to know who he is. Because what I found out is that once I discover who he is, I automatically get what he does. Once I know who he is, I automatically get what he does. And here's why. Once I begin to get acquainted with him and I get to know him and I become intimate with him, everything he is begins to manifest in my life, and it begins to manifest in your life. So I just don't want to know the power of the force. I want to know the person of the force. I want to know the ways of the force. And once again, the force is Jesus. And if you haven't caught on yet, I'm just a Jesus preacher. I'm just going to tell you about Jesus. I'm just going to give you Jesus, because I know that when I give you Jesus, I give you everything. Because Jesus is everything. See, I think we come to a place, and even sometimes in this message right here, to where we're like, are we ever going to shift gears? Are we ever going to say anything else? And the answer is a big, fat, resounding no. There is nothing else to preach but who Jesus is and what he's done. Now, I don't believe we do away with the entirety of the Word of God by doing that, but the central thing that we preach, it all centers in the person and in the work of Jesus. Because when I know him, I know the force, and I know everything else that I have need of. It's all wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus. So what's the force? It's the Word. It's Jesus. He's the one that holds everything together. And we must begin to learn the ways of the force. How do we do that? Just by personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. Right here's you a very, very deep statement. God wants you to know him. He wants you to know him. Well, how do I do that? Well, you can just start out by talking to him. See, we make this seem way too complicated. Just start out by talking. You know, for a long time, I never understood prayer. I did not understand prayer. And Justin and I have talked about this, and he said some things along the same lines. And I asked the Lord one day, I asked him, I said, God, why do I even have to pray? It don't make no sense to me. The scripture says that you know what I have need of before I ever even ask. What is the use of praying? That makes no sense to me. And man, out of nowhere, this voice rose up inside of me and said, oh, I'd just like to hear you talk to me. That's what prayer's about. God just wants you to talk to him. Now, consider who this God is, the one who knows it all, who's above all, higher than all. Come on. That God wants to know you. And that God wants you to know him. And, you know, I've just come to a place that who wouldn't want a daddy like that? See, what I think has happened is that for way too long we have presented the wrong viewpoint of God. And as a result of that, folk haven't wanted to know him. They don't want nothing to do with him. But I'm convinced that if we would preach the goodness of God and we would preach a great daddy and a great big daddy, you'd be crazy not to want to know a daddy like that. What's the force? It's the thing that holds everything together. But here's the thing about it, and here's where we're at. We must acquaint ourselves with the ways of the force. How do we do that? By personal, intimate relationship. And then the third line of the movie that really stuck out in my heart is somewhat of the theme of the conference, is that the force is strong with this one. Now, when I hear that right there, there's a lot of different directions that we could go in, and there's a lot of different pictures in the Bible that we could paint, a lot of different stories we could look at. But when I think of one individual in the Scripture that the force was very strong or powerful with, outside of Jesus, the force himself, I think of a man in the Old Testament by the name of Samson. How many of you are familiar with Samson? Put your hand up in the room and wave it. Now, if you know anything about Samson, how many of you would agree with me that Samson was a forceful and a powerful dude? All right? So let's talk just for a moment about the life of Samson. When you start out looking at the life of Samson, just in the early stages of looking at his life, it's very interesting. Give me my scripture right there in Judges chapter number 13. This is the early stages of Samson's life. Let's just read just a little bit of this story here of what is behind his birth. It says, "And again the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said to her, 'Indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines.'" Is that all I give you right there? Now here's the first thing I want you to see concerning or surrounding the birth of Samuel. First of all, his mama was barren. That means when Samson is conceived and when he's born of a supernatural birth. Now I want you to think about this right here. Samson's name, when you look at it, literally means sun or sunlight. It means from the east. So right off the bat, this man has a whole lot going in his direction. Number one, because he has a supernatural birth. Number two, he's got a name that denotes something to do with resurrection. How many of you would agree with me? Samson's got some pretty powerful stuff rolling on his behalf in the early stages of his life. He's got a supernatural birth, and his name means sun. Rising of the sun denotes resurrection. Now, here's what I want you to understand, and here's what I need to understand to a fuller extent. We do have a supernatural birth. And the reason we have a supernatural birth is because we have been born again. Now, when you look at that word again right there, it's the Greek word ano, and it means above. When you was born again, you wasn't born from beneath, you was born from above. You was born with a above birth. And when you really look at it, it means super above. Listen, when you was born again, you was created not just to be average, status quo, fake it till you make it, barely getting by. No, you've been born with an above birth. Oh, you ought to rejoice over that right there. You have been born not just with a supernatural birth, but an above birth. You have been born literally with a birth to be a superhero is what you have been destined to be. You haven't been created to be average. You haven't been created to be status quo. You have been created to be above and super above. A lot of times what we think we are. What we do so oftentimes is that we allow the world to dictate to us. We allow people around us to dictate who we are. But in this meeting and in these services, what you're going to discover is not who the world dictates that you are, but who heaven says that you are. And when you begin to understand who heaven says that you are, it begins to empower you to live above and beyond what you're living right now. It empowers you to think above and beyond what you're thinking right now. Listen, there should be something about our life, whether it be on our jobs, amongst our family, in our schools, where we are to be above average. See, I believe in this room right here with the teenagers, in this room, you are to be the sharpest kids in your high school. I believe that with all of my heart. Well, I'm not, and I just feel bad about it. Well, you just haven't tapped into who you really are yet. There ain't no condemnation there. There ain't nothing on you. But when you begin to realize, you know what? I'm better than this. I can go beyond this. I can go above this. What it's going to begin to do is it's going to begin to produce a confidence in you to begin to manifest that. And you know what I believe it'll do? It will produce an energy in you to study more. Study more. You getting into works right now? No, I'm not getting it. You tell your high school teacher that's works. Yeah, tell your algebra teacher, that's not works. You know what? When I begin to discover who I am, it don't make me want to run away from the right things in life. It makes me want to run into it. Because when I begin to discover my identity, what it begin to do is produce something in me. You know what? If this is who God says I am and what I'm about, I'm going to step into this thing and I'm going to begin to do everything I do in excellence. It produces an attitude in you, not a cockiness, not an arrogance, but a confidence that says almost, I'm not going to be outdone. Why? Because I know who I am. I'm better than that. I have been born above. I got to shift gears right here. This guy had a supernatural birth. Look at your neighbor and say, you got a supernatural birth. And he comes from a place of resurrection. Now, that's powerful right there. Now, here's the thing about Samson. Samson, from his birth, had a covenant with God. His covenant with God said this. It was the Nazarite vow, I believe, of Numbers 2, Numbers 6, somewhere around in there, that said, you can't cut your hair, you can't drink any strong drink, and you can't touch anything dead. Now, that vow, what that was to represent for Samson was his covenant or his relationship with God. Now, here's what I want you to see one more time, not to just keep repeating it, but I believe sometimes we get things by repetition. Number one, he had a supernatural birth. Number two, Samson came from a place called resurrection. His life had something to do with the sun, the rising of the sun, resurrection. We have resurrection life living on the inside of us. Number three, Samson had a covenant with God. Whether we realize it or understand it, or whether you know this or not, you have been born again, you have a supernatural birth, you have resurrection living on the inside of you, and you have a covenant with God. Now, Samson got just a little bit curious one day, and in Judges chapter number 14, he decides to go down to a place called Timnath. And as he does so, he sees this lady that he likes. He sees this girl that he likes. And this is the initial thing that starts getting Samson kind of going in the wrong direction, but at the same time, it gets Samson rolling toward his destiny, his future, because this man has been raised up to begin to deliver the children of Israel from the Philistines. As he goes down there, he spies out this woman. When he spies out this woman, he comes back to mommy and daddy, and he says, I want to marry him. Or marry her. And the problem is that this woman's a Philistine and Samson is an Israelite. And a bigger problem than that is there's a scripture over in Deuteronomy 7 verse 3 that says you can't mix your marriages up. So Samson's mom and dad, knowing the word of God, says, no, Samson, that's not in your best interest. Mommy and daddy just had his best interest in mind. But he thought he knew more than mom and dad. So what Samson's going to do is aggravate the Holy Ghost heck out of them till he gets his way. And guess what? Mommy and daddy gives in. Now, while we think that's a great thing for Samson, it really wasn't a great thing for Samson because it was the initial thing that started conflict
in his life.
You know, here's what I want to say to you, and I'll say this real quick because I know you guys love me and I want you to keep on loving me. But sometimes mommy and daddy does have your best interest in mind. Because sometimes mommy and daddy know some things that maybe you haven't acquainted yourself with. See, maybe Samson, being a young man, he didn't know this yet. All he's seen is a good-looking woman, and he wanted to get hooked up with this good-looking woman, and he was listening to his head, and so he was going to go that direction no matter what. And so he's badgering mom and dad, hey, yeah, till finally mom and dad just says, all right, Samson. So they all go down to Timnath. And on the way, the first thing that he encounters is a lion. See, I've noticed that at times in my life, when I want to go opposite direction of authority in my life, it don't take long to encounter conflict in my life. But the thing about it is that even though Samson's going to go the wrong direction, Samson has something working on his behalf. And this is what the scripture says in Judges chapter number 14 right here. Verse 5, it says, so Samson went down to Timnath with his father and his mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. And the Spirit of the Lord, now watch this phrase right here. This is very important to us. Came mightily, watch this next word, what's that say? Upon him. And he tore the lion apart, as one would have tore apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his mommy and daddy what he had done. Now, here's the thing about it. Even though Samson's going to encounter some conflict, he's been born of a supernatural birth, got resurrection working on his behalf, and he's got a covenant with God. As a result of that, God's going to come up on him, and there's going to be a supernatural force that begins to work in his life to deal with conflict. Now, here's what I want you to see right here. The scripture said that the Spirit of the Lord came up on Samson. See, we're in a whole lot better shape than what Samson is. The reason I would tell you that is because the Spirit of the Lord don't necessarily come up on you. The Spirit of the Lord lives inside of you. See, at the moment, force or power came up on Samson. But at any given moment, that same force lives on the inside of you. See, we're in a whole lot better shape than any of those guys in the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament, God was an external God. But in the New Testament, He's an internal God. Everything in the Old Testament to the New Testament, or from the Old to the New, shifted from natural things to spiritual things. In the Old Testament, it was about a natural temple. In the New Testament, it's about a spiritual temple, which temple we are. In the Old Testament, it was about natural animal sacrifices. In the New Testament, it's about the one spiritual sacrifice that Jesus gave on the cross 2,000 years ago. But here's what I want you to hear. The Spirit of the Lord don't necessarily come up on us in the New Testament. He lives on the inside of us. The reason that was is because under the Old Covenant, animal sacrifices was never good enough to cleanse the temple to the point where an all-holy God can move on the inside. The blood of bulls and goats could never remove sin. But Jesus' blood, according to Hebrews chapter number 1, the scripture said that Jesus all by himself purged our sin, and he sat down at the right hand of God. What that means is that he did away with sin, and he did such a good job at it that he sat down in a posture of rest because there was nothing else he had to do to get rid of sin. So what that means is that when you receive Jesus into your life, God cleans you up so good that God's not on the outside looking in. God moves on the inside, and now he's looking out. The Spirit of the Lord came up on him. Now, that's something that's said more than once in the book of Judges, that it came up on Samson. It don't come up on you. It lives on the inside of you, that same force, that same power. Now, let me say this to you real quick. We'll shift gears here. Won't be much longer. We'll be done. Samson was a very forceful and a powerful guy. From this point forward, the power or the force of the Lord really begins to manifest in Samson's life, to the point that Samson slays 30 men just in one instant. It don't stop there. He slays 1,000 men in one instance. It don't stop there. This guy has so much force and power working in his life that he can throw a set of city gates on him and run clear up a hill to a place called Hebron. Everybody say, that's a strong dude. But here's what really blows me away, because I'm a hunter, and I know how slick that a fox is. This guy, in one instance, catches 300 foxes. 300 of them. Ties their tails together, turns them loose into the standing corn of the Philistines. And even though this didn't necessarily end up being a good thing for Samson, I think it makes him look pretty cool, don't you? This is a slick guy right here. And what this says to me is that when the Spirit of the Lord is working mightily in your life, there's nothing that becomes impossible to us. See, we sing and we jump up and down to stuff like this, but do we really believe something like that? I'm not telling you to go out and try and catch 300 foxes. But you know what? I'm crazy enough to believe that if I had to, I could. Amen. Y'all ain't wanting to work with me in here. Yeah. I said, I'm crazy enough to believe that if I had to, I would. Yeah. I've seen the Lord do some wild stuff, man. And I'm just convinced that if we would believe Him, He'd do some even wilder stuff for us. Come on, He's a God of not just average status quo. Come on, He's a God that is mind-blowing, able to do some stuff, man, to rattle our cage. We serve a great, big, forceful, powerful God. And if He's willing to move on Samson's behalf, coming up on him, how much more is He willing to do on our behalf, living on the inside of us? Ah, that's a powerful God. Samson was a powerful guy. But here's the unfortunate thing about Samson. Even though he knew how to walk in the force and the power of God, he had some terrible character flaws. Everybody say, uh-oh. And unfortunately, in the life of Samuel, what we see is that you can have a powerful anointing, but if your character stinks, somewhere along the line it's going to cause you some trouble. Some of the preachers in the room can say amen to this, because we've seen over and over powerful anointings blow your mind with revelation from behind the pulpit. Yeah. But terrible character. Yeah. And somewhere along the line, regardless of how powerful your anointing is, if character issues are never dealt with, it's going to cause some trouble somewhere along the line in your life. Samson just couldn't deal with his sensual desires, even though he was a very forceful and a powerful dude. And somewhere along the line, unfortunately, this is going to cost Samson. So in 1 Samuel, or Judges, I don't know why I keep saying that. I even wrote that wrong on the notes. In Judges chapter number 16, he spies out this good-looking woman in a valley called Sorek by the name of Delilah. Everybody say, Delilah. And if I'm not mistaken, her name, Lynn can correct me or one of them, means anguish or sorrow. I don't know about you. If I know what somebody's name means, and it means anguish and sorrow right off the bat, I'm not hooking myself up with them. Samson's a man of God. He's forceful. He just can't control these desires. And so he hooks himself up with this lady by the name of Delilah. And Delilah's in cahoots with the Philistines, you know, the ones that he slew 30 of them and 1,000 of. He ripped their city gates off. He catches 300 foxes and turns it loose and they're standing corn. And it just so happens that these guys that hate his guts, this woman is in cahoots with them. And they are putting pressure on her to find out from him, what makes you so forceful? Why are you so, what is the secret behind the force that you operate in? And so she begins to pressure him. Everybody say peer pressure. She begins to peer pressure him. And he said, well, you know, he starts messing with her a little bit. He said, if you'll tie my hands up with 7 green withes, new vines, I'll be as weak as anybody else. So she does so. And as she does so, she cries out, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. He jumps up and breaks it. The force of the Lord comes upon him. He breaks it like it ain't nothing. Well, she's disappointed in this. And she says, well, you broke my heart. You've lied to me. Why have you done me this way? If you really love me. If you really feel about me the way you say you do, give up your secret. What's behind the force and strength you operate in? Well, you know, if you'll put some new cords on me, I'll be as weak as any other man. Samson allows her to do so. The Philistines be up on thee, Samson. Same thing. He jumps up, breaks it like it's nothing. Well, she keeps on and keeps on. What is it? If you'll weave the 7 locks of my hair in a weaver's beam, I'll be as weak as any other man. Now, to me, that's wild. He's going to let her sit there and weave his hair up. And I don't know if I know exactly what a weaver's beam is. I got an idea what it is. But regardless of what that thing is, if I had some hair like that right there, there ain't nobody going to be weaving my hair up in that thing. Brother, if I had some hair, I'd grow it all crazy. I might even get 7 locks and pretend I had a Nazarite vow or something like that. She weaves his hair up. Philistines be up on thee, Samson. He jumps up, shakes it off. It ain't nothing to him. So the scripture says this, that she really starts messing with him. And the Bible said that she vexes his soul day after day after day till where finally he just can't stand that in his ear no longer. And he's thinking, I got to get this woman off my back. She will not leave me alone. He said, if you'll cut my hair, I'll be just like any other man. Now, remember what Samson's covenant with God was. His covenant with God was he couldn't have strong drink. He couldn't touch anything dead. And what was the third one? See, you guys listen a lot better than what some folk think that you do. He couldn't cut his hair. Now, here's the problem right here. What this hair is representing, one more time, is Samson's covenant with God. Now, when Delilah cuts his hair, ultimately what she's doing is that she is separating Samson from his covenantal relationship. Now, when she separates Samson from his covenantal relationship, what the scripture says about him is that he becomes like any other man. Listen to me, without our covenantal relationship with the Lord, we ain't set apart, we ain't no different than anybody else. With our covenantal relationship with the Lord, we have been born again, we have been born from above, we have been set apart, we're different than, we're not better than in the sense that we hold our nose up, you know, being snooty, but we are better off than. He's going to be like any other man right here. Here's the point I want to make. Anything that separates you from your covenant with God, what's that mean? The word covenant just means agreement. And let's just say if me and Dan, Pastor Dan right here, have an agreement, what that means is that, you know, there's terms of this agreement right here. And for us to know the terms of this agreement, we got to have a relationship. Somewhere along the line, we got to get to know each other. And that's all a covenant means. It's an agreement. And in this agreement, you get to know each other. So if he allows her to separate him from his covenant or relationship with God, here's what's going to happen. He's going to lose his strength. Now, there's a sad scripture in your Bible. Matter of fact, look at it right here in 1 Samuel chapter number 16. I hope I'm doing okay, and I think I'm making a little sense, but I feel like I'm butchering this. 1 Samuel chapter number 16, verse 19. Thank you, sir. That's all I need right there. I got my amen deacon corner over here. In the Baptist church where I came from, the deacons all sat in a corner over there. And as long as they were saying, amen, you know you was doing all right. Judges 16:19 says, then she lulled him, this translation right here, it's okay, it keeps throwing me off. This is New King James. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had shaven off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him and his strength left him. Once he broke covenant with God, once he was separated from his covenant with the Lord, his strength left him. And she said, the Philistines be up on thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. Watch this. This is very sad. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Now, let me plug something in from a new covenant or a New Testament point of view or today's point of view. Now, back then, remember that the Spirit of the Lord did what? It came upon. For us, the Spirit of the Lord lives inside. Now, I'm going to make a dangerous statement right here, and it's just going to be dangerous to what some of our adults think, but it's a true statement. I don't care where you go, what you do, what you get involved in, God will never leave you. He'll never leave you. How do you know? Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way to the ends of the earth. But I will tell you this. If you break covenant with God, you're subject to be a very weak individual. Now, some of you adults, help me up in here a little bit. If we break covenant with God, it don't mean that there's not consequences. I will tell you, God will never leave you. Jesus will never leave you. But you will not operate in the force and the strength that you could have when you're living in that relationship with Him, you know. So when you're separated from relationship, it can cause weaknesses to come upon you, just like Samson. God ain't going to leave you, but it can cause you to be weak. That's sad to me. He wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Now watch this. Keep going. Verse 21, but the Philistines took him, put out his eyes. Now he's lost his vision. Not only has his strength left him, he's lost his vision. And brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did, now watch this phrase right here. You ready? He did what?
Grind,
that's very important, in the prison house. Keep going. Howbeit, oh, I love this right here. The hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered together for to offer a sacrifice unto Dagon their god and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered him into our hands, our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass that when their hearts were merry, that they say, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me not that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. Now watch this, we're almost done. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the middle pillars upon which the house stood and upon which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left hand. Keep going. In the name of Jesus. It worked right there, didn't it? And Samson said, must be the forces with me. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all of his might, power, force. And the house fell upon the lords and upon the people that were therein, so that the dead which he slew at his death, I like this phrase right here, were more than they which he slew in his life. Now watch this. Come here, Brother Brock, if you would, real quick. Now this is Brother Samson right here. Come here, brother. You come right here too. This is a pillar. Now I want you to just stand straight about right here. I want you to stand straight right here. Now, oh, Brock's a strong, strapping dude right here. And look at your neighbor and say, he can sing. Now Brock just can't sing. If you're from the South, you know the difference in somebody who can sing, somebody who can sing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Brock just can't sing. This boy can sing. There's a force behind this voice right here. Amen? But unfortunately, Brock's got to be Samson right now. Close your eyes, Samson. That way you won't see all the girls looking at you anyways. Now, what the scripture says is that Samson asked the young lad, we won't get nobody to be a young lad, to put his right hand on one pillar. Stand out there just a little bit where he can just put his hand up on you. There you go. I'll be the young lad. Close your... No, you don't have to close your... Put your left hand upon another pillar. Now, does anybody see a good picture right here? What do y'all see? Cross. Now, what's interesting is that in Samson's death, he took care of a lot more enemies than he ever did in his life. See, what I want to submit to you is that the great Samson, the strongest, most forceful one who ever lived, took care of far more of his adversaries in his death than he ever embarrassed in his life. Because he spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly by triumphing over them. Come on, in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, he took care of all of our enemies. Matter of fact, he said, I have the keys to death and hell. Come on, our number two enemies, they don't even have the keys to their own house. Jesus took care of it all in his death, burial, and resurrection. He took care of far more in his death than he ever did in his life. But this is what tore me up about this scripture right here. Just talking about Samson as a person. When he broke covenant with God, he separated himself from the strength that he had by that covenantal relationship. But the Philistines made a huge mistake. The reason they made a huge mistake is that the Bible said they put him to grinding in the prison house. Now, does anybody know what you would grind up? What? Wheat or corn? And all of a sudden it hit me. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And all of a sudden it hit me. Samson is identifying with the person of Jesus and the work of Jesus, and then his hair begins to grow back. See, the only thing it takes for you to reestablish covenant with God, and the only thing it takes for that to reform in your life, just look at Jesus again. Identify with Jesus again. Lock yourself up with Jesus again, who he is and what he's done. And when that began to happen, his hair began to grow back. And once his hair began to grow back, covenant began to be renewed, his strength came back. See, I'm just here to tell you tonight that whether you're in this house and you just didn't know you're strong or not, you're strong. And if you feel weak, the Bible said in the book of Joel, let the weak say I'm strong. But if you're in this house and you feel like for whatever reason you've lost your strength because you broke covenant with God, just be like Samson and identify and get hold of Jesus in here tonight. What a beautiful picture of the cross of Calvary for our heavenly Samson. Decked and defeated, you're doing good, Brock. All of our adversaries, you may be seated in here. Stand on your feet tonight. You know, I'm convinced of this, we're a lot stronger than what we know that we are. And we have a whole lot more working for us than we do working against us. You know, I just really felt like tonight, if the band wants to come, thank you so much, sir. I hope it's okay. I call you guys a band.
Yeah, man. Call us whatever you want.
Yeah. I didn't even look at the time. I know it's probably late. But I don't think we have nowhere else to go. So, you know, I just want to start out by saying this. Let me say this. They just play whatever, start out playing whatever they want. And there's nothing to be ashamed of in this, because I guarantee you there's times in my life that I felt like this more than once. If you're in this room tonight and you just don't feel like that you just feel the force or the strength of the Lord in your life the way you'd want to, first of all, I want to invite you to take a step forward this way and just kind of stand up through here. And secondly, and the reason I say that first is we get some people coming, then we got some other folk. You ain't got to feel like eyes are on you. But you may feel like, you know, I have broke covenant with God. I just don't feel like I'm in a place of relationship where I want to be. I think this is a good place for you tonight just to take you a step forward. And it's not necessarily you taking a step forward is going to renew your covenant with God. But what it says is that you're willing to take initiative enough to the point that, you know what, I'm going to do what I can do to get to Jesus. And really, you ain't got to do nothing but just stand right there and say, Jesus, I receive you in my heart. I receive you in my life. But there's just something about when we take a step of faith, man, that God honors us. And he really shows up and does something big in our life. So first of all, if you're in this room and you just feel like you ain't manifesting strength like you want to, you ain't as strong in the Lord as you want to be, will you take a step of faith up here tonight? You may say, I won't. That covenantal relationship with the Lord the way it used to happen. You take a step of faith up here tonight. Come on, sweetie. Give them just a moment to come right here. Now, I really feel like the Lord's going to do some things in this room right here tonight. And if you got somewhere to go, you got somewhere to be. If you're not a camper, you won't hurt my feelings at all if you need to do what you need to do. But we got some folks in this room right here that want to be touched by the goodness and the power of the Lord as they come. As people's coming, where's Pastor Jack at from Georgia? From Cedartown. Could you come up here, Pastor Jack? Could you come stand right here, sir? Could you bring that music down just a hair right there just for a second, Brother Dean? How many of you in this room would agree that this is an incredible man of God right here? He's an incredible man of God. Sir, as I was in worship tonight and I just kind of looked your way, my heart was just really drawn towards you. And I'm not going to say this is true about you, but I was thinking even the best of the best of us at times, sometimes we just feel like we get drugged down just a little bit. Some stuff can flat out wear us out. And I want to say about you that I just really feel it's like never before, man, the Lord is really getting ready to light a fire in your heart, a passion to do what you know you've been created and destined to do like never before. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord say that there's been times that you've even thought within your own self, now what? And I hear the Lord say that as the candle of the Lord begins to burn in you like it hasn't not burned a long time, not because you haven't wanted it to, but just because this is a new day and it's going to burn the way God wants it to, I hear the Lord say everything you've asked and now what is going to be revealed unto you. And I hear the Lord say it's not going to be hard for you to discover the direction that your feet need to be ordered in, says the Spirit of the Lord. Because the very spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge is going to rest upon you and rise up in you in a way that you've never experienced before, says the Spirit of the Lord. For I hear the Lord say that I have taken you into some high places in the realm of the Spirit, but it's time for you to soar, man of God, like you have never soared before. And as you begin to soar, I hear the Lord say that it's going to cause your whole family to come up just a little bit higher, but not just your natural family, but even the family that's in Georgia and those that are around you, even in ministry, those that are around you. What God is going to ignite in you is even going to affect them. And I hear the Lord say that don't think it a strange thing when some different type of doors begin to open up for you. For the Lord says, I have destined you and I have appointed you for this moment right here, that by the fire in your heart, that not only will it consume you, but when I open these doors, it will begin to consume everyone around you. I feel the Holy Ghost prophesying to him. For I hear the Lord say that this fire that I light in you, man of God, it's going to become contagious to where everybody around you wants what you got. There's going to be a zeal and a passion that flows up out of your life that says, I want what the man of God has got. Stretch your hands toward this great man of God right here. Father, we thank you that there is an igniting in this man's life. Not that he's not already fired up, not that he's already ignited, but right now, in the name of Jesus, as we lay our hands on our brother in this place right here, we thank you, Rose Mendele Bosata, that the fire of the Holy Ghost moves in this man's innermost being. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that the gifts of the Spirit flow through his life on a level that blows his mind. Lord, I thank you that the fruits of the Spirit that I've seen in this man's life for years, they're taken to a brand new level in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that if there was any weariness in him, that right now, that the fire of the Holy Ghost that burns deep within his bones, that's shut up within his bones, that it consumes every single ounce of it, every single bit of it, Father. We thank you that this is a strong man of God, full of faith and courage and purpose and destiny. And we thank you, Father, that what you're doing in him, that from the inside out, that it is so contagious that everybody who gets around him, everybody that touches him, is deeply impacted and affected and touched for the kingdom of God. We thank you, Jesus. Now, if you're up here, so we're praying for Pastor Jack. If you just, whatever reason you came up here, what we're going to do is that we're going to lay hands on one another. And we're going to encourage each other in the Lord. And if you felt like you're weak by this corporate environment right here, you're going to be made strong. Because here's what I want to tell you. Not just individually is the force strong with this one. But in this room, the force is strong with this one. It's strong with this one right here. And because of the corporate anointing in this room and the power of the Holy Ghost that operates in all of us as all the gifts come together, listen, there's not one sickness that won't be healed. There's not one problem that can't be solved. There's not one broken heart that can't be mended. Come on, help me in here. We're going to decree some things that by faith in the name of Jesus that we see the mighty manifestation of the Spirit. There won't be one thing left undone because of what was already done 2,000 years ago as we lay hands on one another in this room and the fire of the Spirit of the living God spreads in the name of Jesus. Thank you.
Jesus.